Blog Talk Radio.
This is Ray Starman, the host of the Ray Starman Show. I'm also the editor of USDefenseWatch.com, a new website that discusses U.S. defense, foreign policy, and political issues every day, USDefenseWatch.com. And the subject of the show today, it'll be a 30-minute broadcast, is don't give up the ship unless you're in Obama's Navy. I don't know how many of you have probably been following this this recent story, which happened last week, about the two U.S. Navy riverine craft that apparently, according to the official Pentagon version, strayed into Iranian waters and were captured by the Iranians. Frankly, I think the whole thing is a disgrace from top to bottom, from what happened to the cover story, the possible cover story, if there is a cover story, to how the Navy acted during this whole thing, to subsequently Secretary of State John Kerry's obscene groveling to the Iranians, just a continuation of the groveling to the Iranians that this administration has been doing for months now, years, with this Iranian nuke deal. So today I'm going to mostly talk about the incident on the high seas with the Revolutionary Guard, Iranian Revolutionary Guards, in the U.S. Navy. And I'll talk a little bit about the Iranian nuke deal if we have time. If you'd like to call in, be a guest on the Ray Starman Show, my number is 602-753-1576. You know, that was the old McHale's Navy theme, and, you know, that was a comedy. What's going on now with the Obama administration, what happened last week, is kind of a comedy, too. But at least the guys in McHale's Navy won the war, even though they were clowns. So let's take apart this this incident, what happened last week, and see if we can find out some answers. And if there's anybody that served in the Navy or knows about this, provide some information, please give me a call. Once again, number 602-753-1576 if you want to talk to me. And this is Ray Starman on the Ray Starman Show. So last week, it was actually about 72 hours, 48 hours, if memory serves me, right before President Obama's State of Denial speech to Congress. Two U.S. Navy riverine craft wandered into the, this is the official story, wandered into Iranian waters. Just for a second here, is how in the year 2016, when you have two U.S. Navy craft that obviously have GPS radar and every imaginable form of navigational systems, how do both of them get lost and wander into Iranian waters? How does that happen? How does that happen? Or were they on some type of, you know, operation that they're not telling us? Were they basically in international waters and overrun by the Iranians? So let's take a look at some questions. Any way you take it apart, though, it just doesn't feel right. The cover story doesn't feel right. The performance of the Navy doesn't feel right. The whole thing just, you know, it just does not give you a warm and fuzzy feeling. Let's look at the first question here. Why were such small craft, riverine craft, designed for operations close inshore so far out in the Gulf? Okay. Why were they out there? What were they doing? Okay. Where was the backup? Okay. Surely they should have had backup, some kind of larger Navy surface vessels. How about naval air assets? Let's get into that in a second here. Like I said before, this is 2016. Okay, Ash and Trash Carter, Secretary of Defense Ash Carter, claiming that it's a navigational error. Remember the first excuse that they had, that the boats broke down, and that's why they were captured. No, then that one didn't work when there was a blog post by an ex-SEAL officer from the 80s that kind of went viral that said, you know, we could just tow the boat back, okay? And so that one didn't work. So then they said, well, it's a navigational error. Yeah, that's what it is, okay? Like these guys are out there, like, you know, master and commander on the high seas in the 1700s with Russell Crowe using a sextant trying to navigate. They have every form of navigation possible, okay? Your average fisherman in the United States has, you know, enough navigational equipment to take him or her across the world five times over with. So we're supposed to believe that these guys just got lost. Or we had a simultaneous meltdown of two navigational systems on two boats. Now, come on. Now, how's that actually supposed to happen? How's that supposed to happen? Okay, so as I brought up just briefly a couple seconds ago, why, given the small size and vulnerability of such craft, the riverine craft, were they not being escorted or shadowed by more substantial naval vessels in those disputed waters? Or maybe they were. And when this happened, what actions did these larger U.S. Navy vessels take, if any action at all? Which I'm starting to think there was a lot of problems from higher. Okay. Let's explore some more questions here. Given the known hostility of the Iranians and the British 2007 precedent, remember that incident where the Iranians captured some British sailors and they kept them hostage for 18 days? Because that's what the Iranians like to do. They think it's fun and games to just take people hostage. You know what? They get away with it because nobody in the West does anything about it. Oh, we had one person who was going to do something about it. Remember back in 1979, 1980, when Jimmy Carter was president, the disaster Iranian hostage situation, which was just a disgrace. Carter finally launched Operation Eagle Claw, which was the mission. And, I can speak for millions of people. We wish that one would have worked. There was a lot of mechanical problems, a lot of coordination. The military hadn't really figured out how to do joint operations yet. But if they could have pulled that off, that would have gone down in the history books is one of the greatest military operations of all time. But Jimmy Carter had bad luck, and he didn't move fast enough. And then a man named Ronald Reagan became president. And as Ronald Reagan was literally taking the oath of office, the Iranians were putting the hostages on board aircraft and going wheels up from Iran to international airspace. You know why? Because they were scared to death of them. Do you think that the Iranians are scared of Barack Obama and John Kerry? They are laughing at Barack Obama and John Kerry because they know they are weak. And we'll get into that in just a second. And they know that the British are weak too, the British government, not the average British civilian, but yeah, the British government. So let's talk about the U.S. Navy air assets. Where were the U.S. Navy air assets when this was going on? Okay. I know we have had a carrier at the time in the Persian Gulf, the USS Truman. You know why? Because the Iranians were firing rockets at it several days before. Or not at it, but within 1,500 yards of the Truman. And what did we do? We didn't do anything. We didn't do anything there either because we don't do anything with Obama in office. And as our commander-in-chief, we retreat a lot of times. We did nothing. So we had a carrier air group in the region. Where were the U.S. Navy air assets? Certainly they knew what was going on. Certainly they knew what was going on. Why didn't they provide cover? You're telling me you've got two United States Navy ships of war that are being captured by the Iranians and we don't do anything? I mean, what kind of military do we have now? What kind of military do we have now? We have a military that's become feminized, that's not aggressive. That's the kind of military we have. We're very good at doing smoke and mirror shows from the Pentagon. When Admiral Kirby, before he went to State Department, when he was the Pentagon spokesman, he was the master of the Pentagon light show. He was so good that they sent him over to State Department so he could lie for Hillary Clinton. We're very good at that type of stuff. What we're not very good at anymore is training for war. We're not very good at being aggressive. Everybody's too worried about punching the right check, looking good, making sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this incident on the high seas and the U.S. reaction and our groveling to Iran. And we'll talk a little bit about the Iran deal when we get back. The Ray Starman Show is brought to you by Steve Barton's News Alert, the total link site for the news and information junkie, libertarianism, property rights, government corruption, Chicago mob, struggle against socialism, union corruption, higher education ripoffs, the housing crash, gun control monopolists, the Ron Paul revolution, and other politically incorrect matters of interest. Check out Steve Barton's News Alert at analert.blogspot.com or just Google, Bing, or Yahoo. Steve Barton's News Alert. He's been around a long time. He's had millions of viewers. If you are interested in those subjects, check out Steve Barton's News Alert. We're back on the Ray Starman Show. We've got about 18 minutes left today on this Sunday in partly sunny Southern California. Temperature's about 60 degrees. It's one of those days you can go either way. And the El Nino threat is out there in the vast Pacific off the coast. It's going to dump some more rain probably in Northern California this week in the next couple days. I think Southern California might only get a few drops of that one. Okay, back to the incident on the high seas in the Persian Gulf. Okay, as I said, where were the USS Truman's naval air assets at the time? Where were they? They were out there. They knew what was going on. We'll get into that in a second. Let's talk, and that segues right into what were the rules of engagement for the young officer that was in command of these riverine craft. Okay. Let's say his rules of engagement were do not fire unless fired upon. Do not fire unless fired upon. Well, that's good. That's fine. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of times there's the rules of engagement, for that in peacetime. But where do the rules of engagement stop when you're being surrounded or overpowered by another hostile force? I consider the Iranians a hostile force. Jack Holbrook probably consider them to be our new best friends on the block. I would say that the rules of engagement go out the window. I for one, and I was an officer in the U.S. Army. I'm not going to surrender while I still have the means to resist. And that brings us into Article 2 of the United States Military Code of Conduct, which anybody who has ever served in the U.S. military learns about. We also give you a little card, too, particularly when you're a war zone, so you know what the code of conduct is, and it's very clear. And it's taken very seriously. Article 2 states, I will never surrender of my own free will. If in command, I will never surrender the members of my command while they still have the means to resist. We did surrender. We did have the means to resist. I'll tell you one thing, that I believe that a United States Navy in an earlier time, and I'm not talking about 1780 or something like that, I'm talking about the United States Navy in 1985 or 1990 or 1990, whenever, except in the last few years, I think they would have opened fire on the Iranians. They would not have given up. So the question is, who authorized these guys to surrender? Don't you find it suspicious when our naval air assets aren't doing anything to stop this? maybe our surface vessels, I don't know how close they were. I don't have the dispositions of these ships. But if our air assets aren't doing anything, like firing some warning shots to begin with at the Iranians, then that means that this is coming up from higher. Just to surrender, just turn your guns in, boys. It's like that scene from Stripes where they're in Czechoslovakia where John Larroquette is just handing over the weapons. Here you go, boys. Here you go. Here's all our weapons. Don't you like our navigational systems, too? We'll strip the whole boat for you. You can just send us back to Bahrain on some life rafts. It's just another day in Obama's Navy, isn't it? Like I said, even the guys in McHale's Navy won the war. And I think that there's a lot of people who are upset about this. I for one, I'm tired of seeing the United States being made into a jackass nation by these two-bit thugs from Iran. I think a lot of Americans are. And the Iranians have gotten lucky. They always seem to be cunning enough to avoid being B-52'd into oblivion. But I think they're going to keep pushing it. And I think what's going to happen is they're going to try to push against the new administration. And hopefully, God willing, in the river don't rise, it's going to be a President Trump or Cruz. And I think they're going to find out. They might start eating some cruise missiles, which might be good for them because, frankly, we owe them since 1979. And yes, the young people of Iran are pro-American. Great. They can be pro-American one day and move to Beverly Hills with everybody else. But until then, they're not running the country. A bunch of thugs are hiding behind their religion. And they're able to push us around because the president of the United States is a feckless idiot. And doing his dirty work is another feckless idiot, John Kerry. Article 2 of the Code of Conduct, the United States military violated. And if anybody knows anything else differently, you know, like I said, I'm just a guy reading the news and interpreting it, bringing my own military experience into it. But my own military experience is 25 years old or more. So if there's somebody who wants to talk to me and says, hey, you're totally wrong, this happened, that's fine. That's, you know, great. Give me a call, 602-753-1576 on the Ray Starman Show. Let's continue with some more questions here. This is actually from an article on USDefenseWatch.com by the same title, Don't Give Up the Ship Unless You're in Obama's Navy. Were these riverine craft prepared to defend themselves as naval vessels against boarding and seizure? Did they even have any ammunition on board? Now, how about that one? You know, what if they went out there and they didn't even have any ammunition? And don't think this can't happen. The military, they make mistakes sometimes, okay? They don't take the threat seriously enough. Oh, they're worried that some guy's going to shoot himself accidentally. So why give these U.S. military fighting people any ammunition? That could have happened. And if that happened, then the whole thing is easy to. But I don't think that happened. I actually think they had ammunition. I think that some feather merchant from up above who's worried about his third or fourth star in her permanent parking place at the DCPX, the Pentagon PX, and that impending seven-figure defense contractor salary and the job on cable news as a military analyst, said, hey, let's just surrender. We don't want to make any waves with these Iranians. Let's just give up. Let's look at some more here. Were the weapons on the boats locked and loaded? Were they ready for action? Maybe they weren't. Maybe they weren't. That's another thing. Nobody seems to be asking Ash Carter any questions. Like everything else is just shoved under the 500-foot by 1,000-foot gigantic rug inside the Pentagon entranceway. To be forgotten for posterity, because the last season of American Idol is more important. You'll probably get more honest answers from the judges on American Idol than you will from these knuckleheads in the Pentagon E-ring. Here's the last one that really bothers me. Was the commander authorized to make a television admission of guilt on Iranian television? This is a violation of Article 5. Of the Military Code of Conduct. This is a violation of Article 5 the Military Code of Conduct. And we're going to take a quick station break right now. When we come back in the last few minutes of Ray Starman Show, we'll continue to talk about this. On the Ray Starman Show, live from Los Angeles, California. About 8 minutes left, and when we come back tomorrow on the Ray Starman Show, we will be on a 30-minute format, and then Tuesday, after the holiday, after Martin Luther King Day is over with, on Tuesdays, we will start a one-hour broadcast on the Ray Starman Show. We have a lot to talk about every day, and we're expanding as we continue here on our first broadcast. All right. So as I said before, that this admission on Iranian television is a violation of Article 5 of the Code of Conduct. When questioned, should I become a prisoner of war, I am required to give my name, rank, serial number, and date of birth. I will evade answering further questions to the utmost of my ability. I will make no oral or written statements disloyal to my country and its allies or harmful to their cause. And this guy goes on Iranian TV. Now, people will say, well, you know, it's easy for you to say that. You're sitting there doing your radio show. It's too bad. You know, there have been thousands of Americans held in captivity that would have rather taken a bullet to the head than want to make some admission of guilt on any TV radio broadcast or whatever Terry's all about. You know, it sounds to me like the U.S. Navy need to hold some classes on the U.S. Military Code of Conduct instead of more sensitivity training. And as I said before, this is all a larger picture, going all the way from the top down. The fish rots in the head. The military is weak. Oh, it's got technology, okay? It's got great people. It's got great people that aren't wearing any brass. You know, sergeants in the Army, your chiefs in the Navy, your gunnies in the Marines, privates, seamen first class, lieutenants, captains, ensigns. But when you start getting higher, especially the people that are running the show, they're doing the administration's dirty work, feminizing the military. They're weakening the military. We're becoming a force that doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to take the fight to somebody. And I'm telling you right now that a U.S. Navy in the past would not have put up with this. Start reading some books about some of these battles the U.S. Navy in World War II fought. And these guys weren't, most of them weren't professional sailors. It was just a guy that was doing his job and got drafted or volunteered to go in the Navy. You know, they fought like tigers. Now we are lambs, led by lambs. And it's something to think about because it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Subsequently, when the Iranians, by their good, they're so wonderfully generous, by their good graces, released these sailors about 48 hours after it happened last week. John Kerry was on his knees telling the Iranians, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for making complete fools of the United States once again and releasing our sailors. Is there anything we can do for you? We're going to give you hundreds of billions of dollars as part of this Iran deal. Is there anything else we can do for you? Is there anything else? It's an absolute disgrace. And the Iranians have finally released the four hostages that they had that have been there for some of them have been there for a couple of years. Of course, we traded seven Iranians that we had because the Iranians are all about hostages. And we're all about groveling to the Iranians because we don't know what we're doing. And the government, the White Obama administration is weak, clearly weak. You know, the right answer to the Iranians, instead of saying thank you, which Secretary Kerry did, would have been, if you try this again, the Iranian Navy will cease to exist. Do you understand that? The Iranian Navy will be gone in a matter of hours. But we don't do that. We don't do that because we're too politically correct for our own good. We're too politically correct for our own good, and it's costing us. And the Ray Starman Show is brought to you by Gary Owen Ventures, a new hybrid consulting firm combining legal, transactional, and operational expertise to support technology businesses and private equity investors, providing practical, versatile, and relevant solutions to enable growth at reasonable prices, offering leadership perspective and vision that comes only from a diverse range of unique backgrounds and experiences. Check out Gary Owen Ventures. That's GaryOwenVentures.com, GARRYOWEN Ventures.com. And we're back on the Ray Starman Show discussing, for the last couple minutes here, the disgraceful Iran deal. Let's just talk about starting off the $100 billion worth of frozen assets that were released to Iran. What do you think they're going to do with that money? Do you think they're going to start feeding the poor in Africa? They're going to build homes with Jimmy Carter in the Habitat for Humanity? They're going to finance more terrorism across the world. Excuse me. They're going to use that money to buy more missiles, to buy more tanks from Russia, to boost their military. They are going to do evil with that money because the Iranian government is evil. They are not our friends. They are the enemy. No matter what these idiots in the Obama administration believe, the Iranians are our enemy. They have been our enemy for a long time. And they will continue to be our enemy till the Iranian government is gone. I don't care, as I said before, how many millions of young people there think it's cool, the American lifestyle is cool, and the United States is great. That's wonderful. When the mullahs are gone, they can be our friends. Until then, the Iranian government is the enemy of the United States of America. You know, it's just this Iran deal is just it's an absolute disaster. And I'm going to talk about this more in depth as the week goes on. And this is Ray Starman from Los Angeles, California. I'll see you tomorrow at 1 p.m. on the Ray Starman Show. Thank you for joining me today.